Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So said Jesus in his words in the Sermon on the Mount, not long after he had finished speaking the words of introduction, the words of entry, the Beatitudes. In that context, in that time in his ministry, why was it necessary for Jesus to speak those words? Were those who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, expecting him to do away with the past, do away with the law and the prophets? Could that Christ come and bring a whole new system for the Jews? Now, many Jews believed that the Messiah would deliver them from the rule of the Romans and deliver them once again into the greatness of the kingdom of David. But that did not necessarily mean that the ways of the past were now obsolete, to be forgotten. If anything, the people wanted that glory of the past to be restored, made new. So Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with beautiful statements of gospel, not of law. The blessedness of Jesus' reign here upon the earth was not to be earned by anyone, but granted as a gift. Such blessings were given to those who are poor in spirit, for those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are the peacemakers, the persecuted, and the like. The Beatitudes of Jesus, his opening statements of blessing, were statements of reality, statements of identity for those who were hearing the voice of God in Christ Jesus and believed in him. That is always the path. Always the way of forgiveness, of life and salvation, faith and trust in Jesus through his word. And now Jesus had called men out of their different vocations to follow after him. And now he had a large crowd of people following him at every turn and listening to his every word. And while Jesus is truly the Messiah, the Christ who was and is to come and has the power to do amazing things, even to change everything, God's expectations for his creation remain the same. Jesus did not come to abolish the old ways. The old ways are only old because they were present in the past, as well as present now. And they were established then by God in the past because God is good. And all that he creates is good. And so for Jesus to come on the scene and abolish the law and the prophets would mean that Jesus is claiming he is superior to them and they inferior to him. Jesus, who is the Word of God, made into flesh, is the author of the law and the prophets. Jesus could no sooner abolish them than he could abolish himself. Instead, they were all given to point ahead to Jesus, the pinnacle, for him to come and to complete it all. Not that they were incomplete in and of themselves, but as a foretaste, a sample of what was still to come in Jesus himself. And so Jesus came and he lived out the law of God perfectly because the law of God is good. God's instruction granted to his people of old was never meant as an insurmountable goal or obstacle with the idea of turning his people away in a despair and in shame. Yes, of course, in sin, mankind cannot possibly fulfill the law of God. And the law then does crush the sinner, always accusing the sinner for the sins that he and she has done, leaving us in despair before God, and rightfully so. But that is only because of our sin, because of our wickedness. When sin is finally removed from us in its totality, then we will experience the reality of life lived in the law of God. Jesus told his disciples and all those who would believe in him, you and me included today, that we are the salt and the light of the world. The salt is meant to enhance and improve taste. It is good and it is intended to bring change. Light is meant to help others see. A city set on a hill is there as a beacon and a signal for many, something to aspire to. No one turns on a light in the dark only to cover it up with a box. The light is there to benefit all. Christians, too, are salt and light for the earth. Be the change the world needs. And no, this world will never be a perfect place in its sin and darkness. But Christians are still called on by Christ, not just to do their vocations, but excel at them. Do so joyfully and with sincerity. For Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You have been called out of the darkness of sin and into the light of Christ and his righteousness. You are blessed. You are saved for all of eternity. You are free from the burden of the law of Christ Jesus, for the law of God that Christ Jesus has borne all for you. His death upon the cross was your death upon the cross, and his new life is now your new life. And as he lives, so shall you live. And here and now, in this time, you are to live as Christ, as his lights to the world. When people see you, they see Christ Jesus. Our sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful actions bring dishonor to that name of Christ that is upon us. No, this does not disqualify us from salvation and everlasting life, but you have been set free. Free to be that righteousness of Christ here in this world, to show love, to show mercy, compassion, kindness, patience to your husbands and wives, to your parents and your children, to your neighbors and your coworkers. You are to do so better than the world itself can possibly do. All of this is what flows freely out of the salvation you already have in Christ Jesus. That moment you first believed, when that gift of faith was granted to you, you were justified completely from all your sin. You have been grafted into Christ, who is the true vine, and you now produce the good fruits of that vine that go forth into the world, and you bring help and support to those who are in need. This is God's way of then drawing others back unto Christ through you, through your service to others, as those who are called, redeemed, and sanctified, the people of God. Now, this is not meant to be a burden placed upon your shoulder, for the burden of Christ is easy. His yoke is light, but it is a joy as you live out your days in full faith, hope, and confidence of the salvation that belongs to you already in Christ Jesus our Lord, poured out upon you freely in the waters of baptism. So you can speak the word of God, both law and gospel, out into the world, and so salt and light the world around you. And this is not to be a mere keeping of the law of God for the sake of keeping the law of God or out of fear of God. For then we would be like those speaking in our Old Testament text from Isaiah 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have no knowledge of it? God does not want superficial acts in keeping with the law. God wants the heart. God wants the true change. And so we take God's word to heart, the word that he speaks to us each and every day. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, to hit with a wicked fist. God knows the substance of our works, if they are true or not. And there is no fooling God. And we do well then to follow his guidance. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. God's word, both law and gospel, remain as his gift to us. We are called to keep those commands of God, to follow his great instruction, and to teach others his ways. Such great care and concern should indeed be given to all those who are around us, being quick to show mercy and forgiveness and grace, as those gifts have been so quickly and freely given to us. That is what our lives will be for all of eternity in God's great kingdom, free from sin and guilt and shame and fear. We'll be free to love, to care, and to serve with no reservation, with no hindrance, with no interruption. And by God's grace in Christ Jesus, we live samples of that life here and now, caring for one another through our various vocations and speaking out the saving power of the gospel to sinners and to a world that is wicked with sin and guilt and shame. For God's word, law and gospel, now and forever, is revealed to us in Christ Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, God's great gift to us. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.